Hey everyone, it's Jamison Cable of the Land Between the Meadows Kentucky History Podcast. I just want to say thank you for your support and listening to this episode. For all the updates on our podcast and YouTube channel, youtube.com/Kentucky History Channel, like and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at KY History Pod. If you're enjoying the podcast, give us a good rating and review on Apple Podcasts or the podcast platform that you're listening to. If you're looking for ways to support the podcast, an easy and simple way is to share it on Facebook or any other social media and tell your friends. You can also go to audibletrial.com/KYHistoryPod and get a free book of your choice. And finally, you can visit patreon.com/KYHistoryPod if you want extra content from us. If you're already a patron, thank you for your support. It means so much to us. All the links I've mentioned are in the description of the podcast, so go check them out. Thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoy this episode. And remember, if it's not about Kentucky, it ain't worth a hill of beans.
I want to give a big welcome from Crab Orchard, Kentucky. I'm here with Jamison Cable, and I'm James Pope, at least I think I am, last time I looked in the mirror. Yeah, for today, here in what some people think might be the capital of Kentucky, Crab Orchard, Kentucky. There's so many people messed up downtown, they probably think they're in the capital. I wouldn't doubt it, by just the looks of driving through town.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about some really important Kentucky pioneers, and they're not really ones that people don't know. So we're going to be talking about the McAfee brothers and McAfee Station, some pioneers that are well known. These were contemporaries and friends of James Herod, Daniel Boone, Simon Kenton, some of the big names in Kentucky, Bullets. The McAfee brothers were right there with them, and they have a really interesting story that tells about their life. Last week, this is Monday, I went to McAfee Station, and I've had some friends that actually owned, a teacher as it was, owned one of the McAfee brother houses, stone houses. There's two stone houses on Salt Creek, and I've been through them and seen them and looked at the lay of the land and tried to figure out, you know, why they chose this spot. The McAfees were some of the first people into Kentucky after Boone and right after Herod. And they have a real interesting story. The Courier Journal article wrote about it in 1888, the story of the McAfee Station. And basically, James, George, and Robert McAfee, along with James Cowan Jr., who was Robert McAfee's brother-in-law, and a fellow by the name of Samuel Adams, not the one that made the beer.
Adams?
Well, he probably would tell you he is, and he probably drank quite a bit of beer, too. He was a youth of 18 years old, who Samuel Adams was, cousin of McCown, James McCown. They set out early. I was talking with a friend. Well, when did they come into the area? They came in on May 10th, 1773 from Boltport, Virginia. They went to the Kanawha River and stopped there. Had a couple of young people take their horses back. But they called themselves a company. And this area that they settled, if I haven't said, is McAfee Station, is located in what's now Mercer County on 127, about 4 or 5 miles, maybe 6 miles accurately, from Harrodsburg, north of Harrodsburg. This area is just, you know, wonderful farmland, some of the best in Kentucky. The McAfees traveled, like I said, to the Kanawha River. And there they gave up their horses and dug out two canoes out of logs. Mm-hmm. And I guess they floated down the Kanawha River to the Ohio River. And there they met up with Hancock Taylor, and he had a surveying crew at the mouth of the river, Ohio. And by about the 1st of June, they met Captain Bullitt going to the Falls of the Ohio. And they went down the Ohio River. It took them a while. I guess they just floated in logs on top of logs with all their gear and traps and guns and everything. And they came out, stopped at Limestone, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And Limestone, Kentucky, as you probably well know, is where Maysville is today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this Limestone, Kentucky and the Blue Licks is just a favorite place of everybody. There are just herds of animals and all kinds of things happening there, just naturally. A favorite place of the Indians where they crossed mm-hmm. the river and went up to what is now Washington, Kentucky. And Robert McAfee, he seems to me, from what I've read, to be one of the most gregarious of the crew. So he decides to just take off. He says, "You all go on down, float on down the Ohio." He said, I'm gonna take off and explore some land." So it's very typical, and I've made this notion in my own mind that you talk about Kenton, you talk about Boone, you talk about McAfee's, all of them like this particular area of northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
And he went up on his own to Blue Licks and then crossed over the ridges and mountains and came down in what is now Bracken County, where Augusta is, on Bracken Creek. There was a lot of game. There were cane breaks. You know, he was just in heaven exploring by himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Shawnee Indians were running around, too, at this time. But he was able to avoid them. And when he got down to the Ohio River again, he didn't have a canoe. And he figured out that everyone was gone. And I believe that, according to his journal, there was a tree that had been felled along the bank that was mm-hmm. chopped down with a hatchet. And the way the tree lay pointed which way they went down the river and that they'd been there. And he saw that sign. So he, in 2 days, with nothing but a hatchet and his long rifle, he cut down a tree.
Wow.
He cut the log in two and hollowed it out with a hatchet and was on the water in 2 days'
wow,
time.
Wow, 2 days.
Yeah, huge, huge tree, you know, with a little hand hatchet.
Wow, wow, that's pretty impressive.
He was really impressive guy. And he floats down to the Falls of Ohio, and there he meets up with all of his brothers and cousins yeah. and brother-in-law and the Bullets, too. Mm-hmm. They were down there surveying. So in their first trip to Kentucky, they cut up, you know, through the Kentucky River and came out about where Frankfort is. And they surveyed two plots. Most of these plots that they surveyed were 400 acres. Where the city of Frankfort is today. Mm-hmm. And then they followed up on south, you know, towards what is now Fort Harrod, mm-hmm. Even though Fort Harrod wasn't there at the time, you know, surveying the land, and they came to this area of Mercer County that just has, you know, some of the best soil and some of the best farms. And it's also interesting that along the Salt River, for thousands of years had been inhabited by Native Americans. And even today, in some places, there's remnants of mounds where the mound mm-hmm. builders lived. And there's a lot of artifacts in the bottoms there. And I've got several in my collection. When I was buying corn, ironically, on the McAfee farm at Divine's Produce, who owns the farm now, mm-hmm. one of them yeah. sells produce, he was talking about a big spear point that he found out mm-hmm. in the field and even pointed to the spot where he'd found it. That existed there. But the McAfees is really interesting. They came in what is now Anderson County, you know, before they got to Mercer County, to what they called Cove Spring. And Cove Spring was later, after the Civil War, called McCall Spring. And at the time, it was named shortly after that Lillard's Spring, after a man named Lillard. Can't hardly say it. Lillard.
Lillard,
get over here.
Too many L's in that
yeah,
word.
Too many L words. Not enough R's. And so they came to that spring, and there were so many buffalo there. It's a blue spring, salt spring, that they said in their journal when they came there, there were hundreds of buffalo. There were elk and deer. And they said, ironically, in the journal that wild turkey were mixed in the buffalo herds.
Really?
Wandering around. I never heard that before. They said there were all kinds of wild turkey with the buffalo.
Wow.
And said that they spooked the buffalo mm-hmm. when they got there, probably shot a couple of them.
Yeah.
And they said the thing is that all these hundreds, maybe 1,000, I don't know, buffalo took off in one direction.
Wow.
They all followed each other just like cows.
Yeah.
That was in the journal.
Huh.
And they said they noticed that around the spring, diameter or perimeter, mm-hmm. circumference around the spring, maybe 50, 100, 150 feet out, that the buffalo had been eating the soil because it had minerals in it. Not the spring, but the soil. And they said the soil was eaten down 3 feet.
Whoa.
Yes, below the surface. There were so many buffalo. And there were salt and minerals in that you know, that everyone has to have.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
they're just eating the dirt.
They're eating the dirt. The buffalo are just eating the dirt. And, you know, I talked to a friend over in Lawrenceburg, and he knows a lot about Anderson County history. And he was saying that, and I've been to the Falls of the Ohio, where they have a museum there, and it's mm-hmm. worth seeing it. And they have a panorama. There's another too many R's. Panorama there, and it shows you these buffalo trails mm-hmm. that laced Kentucky and that went from this Cove Spring in Anderson County now to Louisville, and there was mm-hmm. another one that went to Blue Licks. And you talk about trails. I always thought growing up that these buffalo trails and things were just trails, you know, mm-hmm. in the woods, like a deer trail. These were like I-75.
Yeah, yeah, big old wide things.
Big old wide things, you know, 70, 80 feet wide, maybe 90 feet wide, mm-hmm. 30 yards wide, and maybe 10 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like a bulldozer bulldozed out were thousands of these bisons mm-hmm. for thousands and thousands of years, maybe 100,000 years have been traveling between these springs. And there was a network, and they all linked up with these mm-hmm. blue springs, like I was describing, mm-hmm. Like Cove Spring. And that's near Hebron's church today, early church that was there. Then they progressed on, and they really liked what they saw north of Harrodsburg in this area of Mercer County today called McAfee. And they decided that that was where, and they surveyed a couple of plots. Mm-hmm. Then they decided it was time to go back. And this time they decided they would go back through Cumberland Gap and over the mountains. So they traveled. They got into your country where you're from, mm-hmm. down there in Rockcastle County.
Yeah, boy.
They got in the mountain. Oh, man. And for some reason, it was like September, October or something. It was really dry, mm-hmm. and they didn't see any game.
Yeah.
There were no game, and they started getting really weak. And so, surprisingly, as many rivers and streams, I don't know what the hell they were doing. They said they couldn't find water.
Yeah.
And they got to a point on top of one of the Rocky Mountains. And that's not a Rocky Mountain, but a Rocky Appalachian Mountain.
Yeah.
That they were just exhausted. The humidity, probably like today, was really high. It was hot, probably in the 90s. And they just about gave up.
Yeah.
And they all just laid down. We're going to die. They just gave up the whole party. They said, that's it. We've had it. And Robert McAfee, once again, said, well, before we all lay down and die, I'm going to go out and do a little hunting. And he, by luck, went around over the knob and was gone for a couple hours. And they heard a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they all staggered up and went over the mountain. And he had shot a big buck deer. And they were so hungry that they just cut it open and began eating the deer raw, all of them did. And they camped there for 2 days. And about that time, they found all water. I mean, I don't know how.
How can
you not find water in Kentucky?
Yes,
I mean,
especially
geez,
in the mountains.
It's like every valley's got
everywhere.
It makes you wonder, you know, these great pioneers, you know, friends of Boone's and all this, they can't even find damn water to drink. Yeah, I guess maybe they were spoiled in one of those blue springs or something.
Uh-huh. They saw a muddy creek water. I
ain't drinking that. I'd rather die. You know, I don't know. A bunch of silly damn people. But anyway, they got refreshed and they went over the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Then they came back again. And this time they were more serious. They got messed up. They got messed up in the Revolutionary War when they came back. I said, we need you boys. You know how to shoot a gun. That's right. We need some fitting going on here. So they joined up down in Virginia and for a couple of years fought the British.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had enough of that, and they all got back together again and said, let's go back to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that had drawn them to Kentucky in the first place was Thomas Walker.
Yeah.
They knew him, and he came back and was bragging about how beautiful Kentucky, even though he never even got past, what was it, Pineville?
Yeah.
And he was talking about all the animals and the beautiful land and farming. He said it wasn't very good for farming, but he was a friend, and he talked him into exploring and going there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole group, it was kind of a collaborative thing that they did. And they went back, and they really liked this area, and then by this time, Harrodsburg was being founded, and they were putting up the walls. And so the McAfees decided to do the same thing and build a station. And they cleared, and this is interesting, they cleared 15 acres and planted it in corn.
Yeah.
And when they came back this time, they brought 40 head of cattle.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is really interesting. This is, as far as I know, these are the first cattle in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I'm just guessing again that they're probably milking shorthorns with a dual breed where they have beef and milk. So they had 40 head of cattle that they brought in that area. Of course, you know, there's no fences or anything. Mm-hmm. They just free-ranged around.
Yeah.
And as the story goes...
Though, I mean, they bring them down the river?
I don't know how the hell they got them. I don't think they were sophisticated enough. But I think they brought them over the mountains.
Yeah.
Down Wilderness Road.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Hell yeah, it's a lot. I couldn't do it. I could barely walk.
And get one cow.
I'd be lucky to get to my damn car today. But anyway, this is what I find really interesting. And, you know, you talk about Kentucky, you know, and how unique it is. What did they do? They planted 15 acres of corn. Mm. What did Logan do when he planted his pumpkin pits?
Let them all rot.
He let them all rot. He split.
Yeah.
So they left the cattle intentionally and went back to Virginia, I guess to Williamsburg, to claim their farms.
Yeah, yeah.
And to get their women. We need somebody to cook around this place. So they went back and left the cattle for a year.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't come back for a year. And when they came back, the cattle were all there. And they said that the cattle would stick around the corn and eat the corn. But this is the thing, cane breaks. There were so many cane breaks, and they said the cattle just fattened on cane.
Oh, yeah.
All winter long. They spent the winter, the cattle spent the damn winter eating cane. And surviving.
So, yeah.
And they came back and their cattle were just fat as they could be. And they were all right there, right where they left them. Unbelievable. And the Indians hadn't molested them or anything.
Wow.
And they even had probably some offspring and things popped out while they were gone.
Who'd have thunk it? They survived.
They survived just fine. So anyway, that was really,
That is pretty interesting.
But here's the thing. So they go and they go to Fort Harrod because there's like Indian threats and things. And the young man, Joseph McCown, it's M-C, capital C-O-U-N. I don't know how you pronounce it. McCown. Probably they couldn't pronounce it either.
Yeah.
He was 18-year-old and he was known in the journals as a promising lad. So he was a good boy. A good boy. Everybody liked him.
Good shot, cool. I'm sure.
Good shot. Nice to be around, pleasant, everything. So what does he do, you know, outside of Harrodsburg? He's worried about these cows. So he goes out to check on his cows one evening and doesn't come back. And the Shawnees take him.
Yeah.
And immediately they send out patrols looking, but they couldn't find this raiding party of Shawnees. And the Shawnees take them. And this one I also find just extremely interesting. If you know the geography we're talking about here. They take this 18-year-old, you know, and just beating him and punish him, take him back to their village, which is near Springfield, Ohio, 4 or 5 miles outside on the Mad River, it's called. They have a huge village on the Mad River. And they take him back there, and, of course, they tie him up to a stake and do their thing. They torture him, and they, you know, cut his guts out and everything. Yeah. And then while he's still alive, they burn him at the stake.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the promising lad.
Wow.
Checking out.
What was his name again?
His name was Joseph McCown.
Joseph McCown. Wow.
As in cow. McCown. Cown.
Yeah, shouldn't have worried about those cows so much.
Shouldn't worried about them cows, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've read, you know, in the Frontiersman by Alan W. Eckert, that book that we used to talk about a lot.
Yeah.
That a lot of times the Shawnees or the Cherokees, either one, would go out and have a cowbell.
Yeah.
When they'd go out to get the dairy cow at night, the cabins and stuff, to bring it in to milk. And they would go out in the bushes and ring the bell. And then they'd run over a little ways and ring it again. And they would hear the bell, the pioneers would. And, you know, the woman or whoever was bringing in the dairy cow. And they would follow the bell. And then when they got far enough away from the cabin, they were mugged by the Indians.
Wow.
And they did that crap to them a lot.
Yeah.
They would hear the sound. They put bells on them, so you could hear them. They're easy to find. You know, clank, 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 clank. You know, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
And they go thud.
You know. They're done.
Yep, that's it. They're fried. So, this land they had, they cleared up on the banks of the Salt River, beautiful Salt River. You know, again, the rivers were transportation. They built beautiful stone houses, and contributed to Fort Harrod. They were buddies with Daniel Boone, mm-hmm. drinking buddies, mm-hmm. and James Herod, and Simon Kenton.
Yeah.
And one point, the McAfees, when they were surveying and building their thing, Boone had heard that the Shawnees were raiding in Kentucky, were coming down, a big group of them. Mm-hmm. So he jogged, Simon Kenton jogged all the way over to McAfee Station from Boonesboro and told the McAfees, said, man, you got to get out of Dodge. Yeah. They're coming, man. They're right behind you on your heels.
Wow.
And the McAfees threw down their things and took off. But the McAfees built a station there, just mm-hmm. like Fort Harrod.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that as much because there's no McAfee right. State Park. There's mm-hmm. a historical marker there if you're through there and want to read it. And it was attacked several times, and the station withheld the mm-hmm. Shawnee attacks. But it was like Logan's Fort, McAfee Station, you know, Harrodsburg,
Would you say it's
Boonesboro.
Probably a lot smaller than Harrodsburg?
I'd say it was. But just as important and probably in better farmland. Once again, you know, we see that these pioneers like William Whitley, like James Herod, mm-hmm. they set the locations for their home and their forts right on the edge of the knobs and the wooded areas and the good mm-hmm. farmland so that they had both.
Yeah.
McAfees were out in just good farmland. I mean, I'm sure that was full of cane and all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff. And a friend of mine asked me the other day, he goes, where's the cane all gone? You know, and I said, well, I know some farms at the back off the road. It's part of the old wilderness road where there's huge patches of cane still mm-hmm. today. But it used to be that the country, especially along creeks and things and rivers, were just thick with cane, and mm-hmm. the animals hid in there, and they just loved it. And I guess the buffalo and the deer, any kind of grazing or browsing animal, just loved it, just ate the heck out of it.
If you go to Fort Harrod, the state park there, and go mm-hmm. inside, they have a corner there that has cane growing in it.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know that. I've been there many times, but I didn't see it.
It might be a newer thing.
It may be,
yeah.
But if you're from Mercer County,
mm-hmm.
The McAfees are some of the most famous people and well known, and they settled a really good part of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, so how close would they? I mean, obviously they were quite close with James Herod and company. What time frame? When did they build Fort Harrod? 70.
Or was it 1774, 75?
Yeah, yeah. So they would have built, they came there around the same time.
Around the same time.
But then they would have built a little bit after.
That's right.
And then I assume they probably dealt with a lot of Native American attacks too in 1777.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of James Herod when he died, but it was way after that because they don't know about James Herod when he died. Or
they know about. He was shot in the back.
By the.
In Ohio.
Oh, yeah, by the
Indians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's killed. Huh. He waved to this Indian, met him on a road, and walked past him, and the Indian turned around and shot him right between the shoulders and killed him.
Huh.
Shot him in the back, scalped him.
James Herod
up in Ohio, up around Springfield. I'd stay out of Springfield. So around 1775,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
McAfee Station.
Yeah. Now, do you know if they were ever involved in the political aspect of it? I'm sure. And maybe in some, I know, well, James Herod was the main one representative out of that area for a long
time. That's right. I'm sure they had a lot of say in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were farmers.
Yeah. So this place, they don't have, the station is not there no more, but you can go, you know,
the historical marker. It's called McAfee.
McAfee.
You see a sign called McAfee. It's named after them. It's an interesting place. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, I always say this in history. It's where we point the camera, where mm-hmm. we point the gun. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Herod Herod was a little earlier. Harrodsburg, I guess, was the first permanent settlement. Mm-hmm. And then you got Boonesboro. And then right at the time of Boonesboro, you got McAfee Station. And mm-hmm. you got Logan's Fort. You know, mm-hmm. they're all right there at this about the same time.
Well,
then just a year or two difference in all of them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's where, you know, where if they had a state shrine there and they had a park, you know, mm-hmm. for the McAfees and told about them, and, you know, it probably... people would just be as excited about the McAfees as they were mm-hmm. about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it feels like, you know, Daniel Boone.
They were the first people that explored Anderson County, the McAfees,
mm-hmm.
even though they settled in Mercer.
Wow.
Just, you know, just that area. It's just an area then. There weren't really any counties.
Well, and you think, when you look at Daniel Boone versus James Herod, Daniel Boone is a lot more popular because biography and
TV shows.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
That's right.
National Forest. But these people, all, like many of the founders, mm-hmm. were all pretty important to settling Kentucky.
Right.
And then they became more, you know, as history goes, some people's story is becomes bigger than others. Yeah. And, you know,
I just think it's funny when they went back over the mountain and they couldn't find water. And they all quit.
Come on.
And they're going to die if it wasn't for Robert McAfee.
Yeah, he's the only one with some sense, it seems like.
There's always one in every family. The rest of them. They linked up with the bullets, though. And, you know, these surveying crews is what they called them. Boone was a surveyor, you know, and they were in Bullitt, you know, from over in Bullitt County and Shepherdsville, south of Louisville, that area, you know, and McAfee's in this rich farmland area of Kentucky.
And they would survey
they
that.
Survey the area and maybe sell lots, or have family come. They brought all their family and utensils and everything.
But the Transylvania Company, wasn't that their goal? Was, you know, we're surveying this
and sell it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And two of the McAfees, I don't think it was Robert, I think it was James and George, if I'm not mistaken, they hooked up during this time while they were established McAfee Station.
Yeah.
They went over to Boonesboro and joined up with Henderson to help, you know, them bring people in and do all that. And after 2 years, they said, this is screwy. And Robert told them it was a bunch of crap. Said, don't go over there and get mixed up in those people.
Yeah.
They're nuts.
Yeah. And James Herod was in with them, in on them too. Yeah. Like, he's like, you know, they're.
But Robert wasn't.
Yeah.
Robert said, no. He's the brains of the outfit. He said, this is a screwy thing. It's against the law. It's not going to work. He doesn't really own the land. You know, we're better just stick here. And so he went over to McAfee Station. He plodded along and planted corn, worked hard.
Got him cows.
His two brothers got cows, you know. His two brothers, they screwed off over there, and then they came back to McAfee Station after 2 years and said, well, you're right.
Yeah, I see. I think it was Herod who protested the Transylvania Company or in some sort of manner.
Yeah.
And I assume the McAfees as well were, at least the one was.
Right.
It's kind of crazy when you kind of think of how, you talk about just how, rough, I guess it was, you know, coming down the Ohio.
Oh, gosh.
Basically.
Whittled out with your pocket knife.
I mean, the last thing I'm thinking about if I'm stuck next to a river is let me cut down a tree.
Right, with a little hatchet and get in it and float by yourself with your long rifle.
But, yeah, up there, the north, I mean, the canebrakes, that was a big...
We talked
about Simon Kenton before about how much he was...
Oh, yeah, he built his home up there in it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was into it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how Robert McAfee liked that same area and just took off. He said, man, this is like a wonderland. I'm going to go explore this by myself. You guys, if you don't want to come with me, just stay back. You know. He was fearless. He wasn't worried about Indians if he was. Yeah. He figured he could handle them, or it was his providence to go to the land beyond. Go to the real happy hunting ground. Yeah.
Well, that's the way it goes, though. And that's, you know, this one, this, when you look at these individuals more closely, like, you know, there's not as much written. They had a journal, right?
Right.
And if they had a journal, that's a great source.
That is.
But if anything outside of that, you know, the McAfees aren't as well known. You know, that's another thing. You know, Boone had that biography that really.
Oh,
you can find out so much more about Boone.
Right.
You know, when you start digging a little deeper, like here in a while.
Right.
We're going to talk about some people from Rockcastle County that I've discovered that are
pretty
interesting, you know. But having more of that information, tells you more, tells you a lot.
Right.
But if you don't have those sources, it's kind of it's not as easy. Yeah.
But I just think it's fascinating that they had 40 head of cattle they left here.
I know.
Back to Virginia, and they were all there when they came back, and as fat as they could be.
Who would have thought you could just left the cows and
plant
tend to themselves?
15 acres of corn, and they stuck right around.
Yeah. Well,
it's amazing. And then the springs, you know, I found that really interesting in my research on that, the Cove Springs and Hebron's Church. And you can see, you can find the, I think it's called Providence Presbyterian. I've been to church there.
Oh, yeah?
Over in
McAfee. Still going? Well, that's it.
Still going. It's a real small country church, and they have a graveyard, a cemetery.
Yep.
And some of the McAfees are buried there in that church.
Yeah.
It's real early.
It is. I mean, it's you can, if you want to look at some history, if you look at churches, they'll connect you back just as far. There's a church, I think it's a Presbyterian church in Stanford, was founed by Benjamin Logan and that group that was there. I mean, a lot of churches around here, 200-300.
The foundation of that church that the McAfees went to was built by the Shakers. The stone, it's a stone.
Yeah.
And they came over from Pleasant Hill and built that foundation for the McAfees and for that church, which I think it's also tied into the history. It's kind of interesting. I remember the sermon of the minister there is one that's always kind of stuck with me. It really has stuck with me. He talked about a load of hay that was coming down 27 during the real dry spell they had 10, mm-hmm. 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And somebody threw a cigarette out and caught the hay wagon on fire.
Yeah.
So the guy had a choice. He was barreling down 127, and he could either try to get to Harrodsburg. It was 5 or 6 miles away. So the farmer was bringing the hay wagon on fire, and he decided to step on the gas pedal. Mm-hmm. And what it did was the flames and the hay went off both sides of the road, setting all the fields and farms on fire all the way to Harrodsburg. He was trying to get to a fire department rather than pulling over. And he set the whole country on fire.
Wow.
And the minister's point was, he said, we're all driving that truck.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're either fanning the flames or you're putting the fire out in your life.
Wow.
The things you do.
Yeah. Isn't that so true?
That's pretty far out.
That is.
Yeah. So you're either fanning, each of us in our lives are either fanning the flames or we're trying to put the fire out.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
that.
It.
You want to end on that?
I want to end on it, man.
All right. We'll end on that. Are you fanning the flames or are you putting it out?
Are you putting the fire out, man?
Well, thanks again for listening. Again, you can connect to us on Facebook, Twitter, at KY History Pod. And that's about it, I guess.
That's it, man.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.